laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter first, say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works that have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. He that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto us, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you again for everything you bless us with, and I just ask that you would be with our pastor now. Please strengthen him and fill him with your Holy Spirit as he preaches your word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I would say that the Christian life would hinge upon this very thing that I'm going to talk about this morning. And in fact, your longevity as a practicing Christian is contingent upon this. And I would say that I've never met a successful Christian who didn't master this first. And I've never witnessed a backslidden Christian who prioritized this specific discipline. This morning, I want to preach on the subject of walking with God. Walking with God. Now, what does it mean to walk with God? It's a phrase that we commonly see in the Bible, and it's a metaphor to describe fellowshipping with the Lord, okay? To fellowship with God, to walk with God. And if we were to take that phrase and just put it in its most practical sense description, we would say that it's essentially referring to prayer and Bible reading, right? prayer, in a sense that we talk to God, spend time talking to God, and Bible reading where we allow God to speak to us. This is essentially what it means to fellowship with the Lord, to walk with God. And obviously, there are subcategories of this specific topic. We can think about, how about singing psalms, right? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. That is a manner in which we fellowship with God. That is a manner in which we walk with God. We could also talk about the subcategory of just serving God and making sure that we are fulfilling His commands, loving the Lord by doing what He tells us to do. But I'm going to say this morning, that when it comes to the Christian life, this is actually the most important thing that you could ever do. It's actually more important, listen to this, more important than soul winning, and more important than your church attendance, more important than anything, it's walking with God. Amen. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me just say this, is that in my experience as a Christian, I've actually never met a Christian who goes soul winning and comes to church and lives the Christian life and does not walk with God and remains in the Christian life. So I've known a lot of Christians who go soul winning, they go to church, they serve God, they're present in the visible things that we see here in the local New Testament church, but because they don't really have a walk with God, they don't really have a whole lot of endurance, and so they only do it for a short period of time. But I will say this, you know, I've known people who walk with God, they have the discipline of fellowshipping with the Lord in their private life, and what they end up doing is actually surviving or enduring the hard times, and they actually end up soul winning and coming to church and just adding to their life. They're the ones who actually end up succeeding in the long term. And so, you know, you do have a lot of Christians who, you know, do the soul winning, they do the service, they do the church attendance, which are important. I'm not saying that they're not. But typically, if they're not walking with God, if they're not fellowshipping with the Lord, they don't last very long. They actually fizzle out within a few months, even a year, even a few years. And then they end up falling out of the way. And I would say this, you know, when it comes to your service for God, when it comes to soul winning and church attendance, I would illustrate it as a vehicle, right? Whereas walking with God is the fuel. It is the oil that goes into the vehicle to get you from point A to point B. And, you know, anybody who's ever blown out their motor, you know, in a literal sense, knows that, you know, you messed up because you didn't put oil in that thing. There's no maintenance on that vehicle. And so the walking with God essentially, you know, helps us to maintain the Christian life. It helps you to serve God, but it also helps you to continue to serve God, but it also helps you to continue to serve God even when you're going through hard times. Because one thing Christians fail to understand is that God expects you to serve Him in the good times and in the bad. When it's really easy to serve God, but also when it's really hard. He wants us to continue to serve Him in all of those seasons and instances, but the only way you can assure that you're going to do that is if you actually legitimately have a walk with God, if you're actually fellowshipping with the Lord. And as a pastor, I just want to ask you this question this morning. You know, do you know the Lord? I know that you know Him in the sense of, like, you're saved, you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and you know all the right doctrines, but let me say this, like, can you pray and get a prayer answered from God because you know Him that well? Let me ask you this. Are you a friend of God? Do you know the Lord? I know that you're saved. I know you go to Fundamental Baptist Church. I know you go to a New IFP Church. I know you're solid on your doctrine. I know that you go to church. I know that you love the Lord. But let me just ask you this. But do you know the Lord, though? I know you serve Him, but are you a friend of God? You see, it's one thing to be saved, and that's the most important thing. But you know what? There's like another level, and it's called being a friend of God. It's being able to pray unto the Lord and ask Him for something and know full well that you're going to get it because you know the Lord, right? It's being able to open up the Word of God and understand the Word of God and know that God is speaking to you specifically about a specific, you know, subject in your life, a specific instance, something that you're going through. It's to know the Lord personally. And I know, you know, a lot of these liberal churches, the liberal fund centers, and to a certain extent, a lot of Fundamental Baptists have marred this concept of having a relationship with God. You know, we're kind of sick and tired of that, but it's because they have marred that definition. They've perverted it in such a way where, like, anybody could just have a relationship with God, dude. And it kind of has like this surfer type of translation to us, where it's just like, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, as they don't go to church, as they don't do any soul winning, as they don't read the Bible, as they hate biblical preaching. It's just, you know, it's like, it's stupid. You know? It's hypocritical. It's contrary to what the Bible actually says. But the reality is this, is that a relationship with God is a real thing, though. You know, to have a relationship with God, the biblical term would be fellowship with the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I want to know the Lord personally. You know, I know the Lord knows me because I'm saved, I'm a child of God, but I want to be able to, like, know the Lord, though. I want, listen to this, I want God to, like, favor me. I want to be able to go to God at any given time in prayer for a specific need and know full well that He's going to provide for that need and He's going to answer it because I know Him, because I am His friend. And in fact, you know, the Bible says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And so this morning, I want to talk about the subject of the most needful thing in the Christian life, the most important thing in the Christian life, and that is walking with God. And in fact, look down at your Bibles at Luke chapter 10. You're like, I don't know, you know, soul winning is pretty important. It is. No one's saying it's not. We know that it's important. I'm just saying walking with God is more important. Well, you know, don't you say like coming to church is important? Yes, but walking with God is far more important. And in fact, I would even say people would more readily go soul winning and come to church before they even read their Bibles. They would actually prioritize those things over reading the Word of God. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I guarantee you there's someone here this morning, you're in church, you sang the hymns, you're probably going to go soul winning after, but you actually didn't read your Bible in the morning. I'm not going to look at anybody, you know, because then I'm going to get awkward stares or whatever, but you know it's true. It's fact. You know, I guarantee you there's people in this building right now that came to church, and you know what? God bless you. And this is why you need this sermon, amen? But I guarantee you woke up and you didn't pray. You didn't crack open your Bible. You didn't spend time thinking upon the Lord. It's showing you that your priorities are kind of out of whack. And it's good that you're in church, and it's good that you're going to listen to the sermon, and it's good that you're going to go soul winning. But here's the thing, I'm here to remind you, walking with God is far more important. Reading your Bible and praying and knowing the Lord, having a personal relationship with God, is far more important. And if you don't think so, then you're just contradicting the Bible. Your life contradicts the Bible. How so? Well, look at Luke chapter 10, look, verse 38. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered, overloaded is another word for that, about much serving. Now, notice that it says that she's cumbered about much serving, not cumbered with sin, iniquity, being backslidden, the things of this world, the lust of other things entering in. She's actually just busy about serving. And in this context, it's probably like serving the Lord Jesus Christ, making food, cleaning the house, you know, getting things ready. You know, God is in your house, and she's just kind of like making sure everything's up to par. I mean, what she's doing is good. It says, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, here comes her hyper-spiritual attitude. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, what she's doing isn't wrong. It's good that what she's doing, because serving God is what we're made for. Amen. The Bible tells us we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. I mean, essentially the entire Bible, but specifically the New Testament, places a heavy emphasis on serving God. And if you don't serve God, you're not right with the Lord. Amen. And so obviously this is not a sermon on against serving. What I'm saying is, if you're going to serve God in the long term, you better make sure you're walking with the Lord. But we see Martha here, she's kind of critical. She's being critical of her sister because she feels like she's serving alone, and Mary is just, you know, listening to the words of Jesus. Verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, he doesn't condemn her for serving. He doesn't condemn her for her service and for what she's doing, for her work. He's just making this observation that she's full of care. She's troubled about many things. And he doesn't even tell her to stop serving. He says in verse 42, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And what is that one thing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. And he didn't tell her like, hey, stop serving. You need to come listen as well. No, it's more like Mary had the right priority. And you know what? Just because Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to his word doesn't mean that she's not going to serve thereafter. But you know what? All of us need to fuel up as Christians every single day. Lest your motor should burn out, you blow a gasket, and then you're out of the fight. We all need to go home and read our Bibles. Not at the exclusion of coming to church, not at the exclusion of serving God, but everything has to have its place. And obviously, I know, and I'm speaking in a very general sense, and so I understand that we have mothers here, we have people with different schedules here, and so not everyone's going to wake up in the morning and read their Bibles and pray. You know, people have various times in which they fellowship with the Lord, but the point is this, do it sometime throughout the day, though. You know, you don't have to, if you're not, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who are not morning people. I'm one of them, okay? But I still read the Bible in the morning. That's just a habit that I built into my life. But if that's not you, that's okay. You just got to make sure you're fellowshipping with the Lord at some point in the day. Amen. Making it a priority in your life. Why? Because one thing is needful. Walking with God is needful. Amen. This sermon is simply me as a pastor coming to you to just remind you of the importance of you walking with God. You're not going to have a successful marriage. You're not going to have a successful child rearing. You're not going to have a successful job. You're not going to succeed in the Christian life. You're not even going to be here in the next 5 to 10 years. I will not see you in the next 5 to 10 years if you do not walk with God. If you're a person who does not prioritize fellowshipping with the Lord, hey, it was nice knowing you. I love you, but I probably will not see you in the coming years because it's fact. This is the most important thing. You know, the Bible tells us of Enoch, one of the most famous passages, that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. It says of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 33. It says, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. The encouragement, the challenge this morning is for you to pick up that Bible again and start reading it on a daily basis. And it requires a level of discipline, does it not? It requires a level of prioritization where you make it important to yourself. And say, starting on Monday, and from here on out, I'm going to read the Bible. And obviously, you know, quantity is important, but quality in this point is far more important than the quantity. And you know what? Put in the quantity after you've disciplined yourself to get the quality. If it takes you, if you could only handle 5 to 10 minutes of Bible reading, hey, something is better than nothing. If you could only handle 15 minutes of Bible reading, 5 minutes of prayer time, just do it. And once you've established that spiritual habit of reading the Bible to the point, listen to this, where it's just a part of your life, then you can add quantity. And that's the goal this morning, folks, is to remind you that Bible reading and prayer, walking with God, is not just something that you do, it's what you are. When you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, hopefully. When you get up in the morning, you change. There's certain things that you just do naturally every single day, right? Certain things that you just really don't even think about. Some of you get up in the morning, you just reach for your phone. You know, or you get up. There's certain habits that you already have locked into your life. because it's just a part of who you are. You don't even have to think about it. You just do it. Well, you know what? You want walking with God to be that one of those things. Where it's just like after a while, it's spiritual muscle memory. And you don't even have to think about it. It's just what you do. It doesn't matter what's going on that day. Doesn't matter if you have work, if you have church, if you have an activity, if you're going to go hang out with friends. No matter what you do, it's just like, I need to go read my Bible first. Because it's just what I do. That's what I do, is read the Bible. But if that's not you, then you need to make it you. Because walking with God is the most needful thing that you can do. And, you know, if you're in here and you think to yourself, oh, man, this I don't do that. I just barely dragged myself to church today. Like, it's hard to just make it to church. Well, thank God that you made it to church to hear a sermon about walking with God. That's what it's for. This morning, I'm gonna give you 5 points on how to walk with God. We already know exactly what we're supposed to do to walk with God, which is to read the Bible and pray, and then all these other subcategories that you can add to that. The most primary ones is reading the Bible and praying. But I'm going to give you some elements of how to walk with God. You're in Hebrews chapter 11. The first thing is how to walk with God. The first of all is this, with expectation. How do you walk with God? With expectation, expecting something in return. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God hath translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, obviously, this is a callback to Genesis chapter 5, where the Bible talks about that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. The New Testament translates that as him being translated into heaven. He's essentially raptured. Now, this is not a glorification rapture. It's just a bodily, you know, translation. He has not yet received his transformed body, so to speak. Jesus Christ is the first fruits. But this came about because he walked with God and he pleased God. Look at verse number 6. So this is all in context of him walking with God. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. I want you to notice, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what does the Bible tell us? When we walk with God, we're walking with God in faith that he's going to reward us for walking with him, seeking him out, reading the Bible, praying unto him. It's a spirit of expectation. When I open up the Bible, I'm just like, oh, man, I hope I just find something. No, I know I'm going to find something. It's just a matter of, like, how long it's going to take for me to find it. When I pray, I'm not praying like, oh, man, I don't know, we'll see. I pray and I think to myself, he has to answer one of these. Something's going to happen because he's commanding me to pray and I'm not praying in vain. Something has to happen. Why? Because we're supposed to approach our walk with God with expectation, not with the lack of faith. Oh, you know, that just sounds like prideful. It sounds arrogant. No, it's called faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. Sounds to me like God wants you to seek him out diligently and with expectation that we're going to get something in return. That's what the Bible's telling us here. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Hold your place there in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll give some practical points regarding this specific point of walking with God with expectation. But let's talk about prayer for a minute. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So if you ever want God to just listen to what you're saying, just make sure that what you're praying is biblical. Just make sure what you're asking for is not the lottery. Something that is contrary to the will of God. If you want to catch his attention, you want to get his ear, you better make sure that you know what you're praying for. Because the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So if I know what his will is, which, by the way you find out what the will is by what? By reading the Bible. So the way you know what the will of God is by walking with God. And once you know his will, you know what God's will is for your life, then you ask for those things that he already wants for you, and it's just like it's a win-win. A win is a win. Because you're praying according to his will. It says in verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's amazing. So in other words, if you pray according to the will of God, just mark it down, you have the prayer answered. God's going to give it to you. Now, obviously, it's a matter of when, right? And sometimes people pray according to the will of God. They become disillusioned because they don't get their prayers answered in the timely manner that they want, and then they become discouraged, and then they cease praying. But here's the thing, folks, is that God didn't say you can choose the time and date of when you'll get your prayers answered. Just pray for it, and God will answer that prayer, and you just have to wait upon the Lord. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Well, what does a waiter do? He serves. So as we're praying, we're waiting upon the Lord. We're serving God, waiting for him to answer that prayer in his time. And if you pray for something that's according to his will and you don't get it at this moment, just know that sometimes people just can't handle God's blessing at this time. Sometimes it requires a certain level of virtue, spiritual discipline to be able to enjoy, use, and receive God's blessing. But we know this. This is the confidence that we have in him. I hope that you're praying with confidence and expectation. And I hope that you have a prayer life, not just a prayer time. I hope that there's a time and day where you sit down and or you're taking a walk and you're praying unto the Lord, worshiping God, petitioning. But I hope there's also times throughout the day when you're working, when with your family, and you just bust a Nehemiah and just pray unto the Lord, thus within yourself, when you're just doing other activities. Like, well, that's not really me. Well, you need to make it you. That's what it is to walk with God. Walking with God means to walk with him throughout the day. It means that you're mindful of the presence of God throughout your life. As you're driving, you know, and someone cuts you off, and you want to give them that thumbs up, but without the thumb, tell them that they're number one, you pray like, Lord, help me restrain myself. Help me to have self-control. Help me to have temperance. You know, you're driving or you're working and, you know, one of the church members comes to mind. Maybe you need to pray for them. You think of someone who is sick or someone who's going through a hard time or someone who's been backslidden, hasn't been in church. You think upon them. You say, Lord, please work in that person's life. God forbid that I should ever go down that path, Lord. That's what it means to walk with God. And sometimes we're so saturated with distractions in this world, it just robs us of quality time that we can literally just be praying, you know, in times of isolation or times of work. We're just distracted, and that's why we don't do it. Pray for the big needs, but also pray for the small needs as well. Pray for parking spots. Pray for the red light to turn green. That's I don't know about that. Why? You know, pray for everything. I don't know about that. Well, I just know my Bible says that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says in Matthew 21, you go with me if you would to Luke chapter 24. Matthew 21, 22 says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, listen to this, believing ye shall receive. He said, whatever you ask for, as long as you believe it, you can have it. Well, I'm just praying this because I know I'm supposed to, and I don't know. I don't even know if God's, I don't even think God really wants to give this to me. Okay, then you're not going to get it. Because you're wavering. Bible says you need to believe it. And folks, this is one manner in which you can increase your faith exponentially as a Christian. How's your faith today in the Lord? How is your faith today in the Lord? Do you have faith in God that he can provide, protect, and do all types of wonders in your life? Well, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. But the way you increase that faith is by increasing your prayer life and asking him, Lord, show yourself strong on my behalf. Do something great on my behalf. And you know what? Make sure you actually bring a list of things with you. Don't just ask generally. Pray for something specific. It's always got to be specific. You say, why? Because when it's specific and he answers specifically, then you know, whoa, this is from God. Now, particularly when we talk about expectation when walking with God. You know, there's two things you should be looking for when you read the Bible. Okay, because we talked about prayer. But when it comes to reading the Bible, here's two things you should be looking for. Inspiration and information. Now, you know, I used to go to an old IFB church, and they emphasized the importance of walking with God quite a bit. But the only problem was is they would often say, look for inspiration, not information. They would always say that. It's like, inspiration, not information. And what they mean by that is that you should read the Bible so that the Bible can exhort you to continue in the faith, to serve God, to not quit, but at the expense of, like, looking for information. So they were very much sometimes against just learning the content of the Bible. But folks, that's not biblical. Now, sometimes I think Christians, and I would even dare say even in our church, they often read the Bible for information but not inspiration. And that's equally bad because you have to have both. Look at Luke 24, verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, this is after the resurrection, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. And their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? What's that called? Inspiration. He gave them heartburn, amen? They're hearing the word of God and they're just inspired. I mean, what a beautiful way to describe that. Did not our heart burn within us? That's not like they learned eschatology. They didn't learn any deep doctrine. They're just inspired by the word of God. This is what David said in Psalm 119 when he stands in awe of his word. And you know what? I'm glad you're learning information, but I hope that when you read the Bible, you're also gaining inspiration. You're fellowshipping with the Lord in such a way that, yes, you're learning the content, but folks, you also need to, like, you know, get a couple tears every now and then of how beautiful the Word of God is. Stand in awe of His majesty, of His glory. Well, how is that going to help me in the Christian life? Well, I'll tell you how it helps you. You know, when you're inspired by God through His Word, you realize how big God is. Because our inspiration comes from the fact that we realize how grand the Lord is, how majestic He is, how glorious He is, and then all other problems seem minuscule in comparison. But if you're only learning information, what does the Bible say? Knowledge what? Puffeth up. If you're only reading the Bible because you just want to be this scholar, you just want to know all the, you want to be able to refute all the false doctrines, hey, kudos to you, but if you have no inspiration, you're going to fall out of the way in no time. It's not going to take much to get you out of church, out of serving God. And what good is that information refuting whatever false doctrine if you're not even in church? Inspiration is when our hearts burn within us. You know what that requires? It requires just a little bit of time in the Bible. It requires you turning off the social media, you know, getting alone and no noise, just isolated with the Bible, reading the Word of God, saying, Lord, open down mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Help my heart to burn within me so I can increase my love for the Bible. I'm not saying that every morning you're going to wake up looking forward to read the Bible, but there should be instances when you do, though. When you wake up and you're just like, I can't wait to read the Bible. I'm looking forward to my walk with God because I expect God to inspire me. I expect Him to make my heart burn within me. I want to walk with God. The Bible also says, though, in 2 Peter 3:18, you don't have to turn there, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when you walk with God, you should expect inspiration, but folks, you should also expect information. And this is where a lot of churches greatly err, where they only want to be inspired to make it through the week, but they disregard some of the most important doctrines of the Bible. So you have all these inspired Christians with very shallow doctrine. They don't know what they believe. They don't even know how to convey their doctrines or what they believe. That's dumb as well. You need to make sure that you're learning the Word of God too. This is why it's important that when you read the Bible, you don't just read John and Proverbs or Psalms and Proverbs. You need to read Leviticus, 1 and 2 Chronicles. You need to read the Minor Prophets. You need to read Songs of Solomon. You need to read whatever book you think is, oh, how is this going to help me? It's not going to help you in an inspirational way. It's there to teach you something, though. You know, if there's passages in the Bible that seem dry to you, it just doesn't seem as interesting, it just doesn't seem as inspirational, read it anyways, over and over again. And if you don't like it, then tell God, ask God to make you like it. Pray according to His will and say, Lord, help me to mature enough that I would desire this type of food. Because you need information as well. You know, God is not interested in raising simpletons as Christians. He's not interested in raising God's children who are simpletons regarding the doctrines of the Bible. He wants us to know what we believe. The Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He wants us to be students of the Bible, to gain the information. And you know what? When we walk with God, it's both. It's not only being inspired to make it through the week, it's being inspired to love our wives as Christ also loved the church. It's being inspired to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's being inspired to hate the things that God hates. It's being inspired to endure afflictions, to endure hardships and tribulations, but it's also information. I need to learn end times prophecy. Well, how's that going to help you in your Christian life? Well, you know, it may not, but who cares? He wants us to know it. Who are you to tell God what we should and shouldn't learn? Well, that's not very profitable. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, listen to this, thoroughly furnished into all good works. So that's even the dry parts of the Bible. You need that. And you know what? A lot of churches out there, a lot of old IFB churches that will refuse to read the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, the book of Zechariah, because they think, well, how is that going to help us practice? Oh, then let's just tell God to rip those pages out of our Bible then. God, apparently you made a mistake by putting Zechariah, Daniel, and Revelation in the Bible, because how is that supposed to help me as a Christian? What business do we have standing in judgment of God's word, saying that certain parts are not as profitable? All scripture is profitable, my friends. Now, obviously, there's scriptures, certain scriptures that are more profitable than others, but in general, the entire grand scope of the Bible is profitable for all, and we need it all, which is why the Bible tells us to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attendance means make sure you're there present, reading the Word of God from cover to cover. And let me just put this plug in. I hope you're reading your Bibles all the way through this year. We're halfway through the year. Yeah. And typically at this point, people are just like, well, 2025. That'll be my year. This time around, I'm only going to read through the Psalms. I'm only going to read through the book of Proverbs. Read through that thing in the next 6 months. Amen. You can do it. Yeah. But I only have 6 months. You can read through the Bible twice in 6 months if you really wanted to. Yeah. And in fact, you know, I guarantee you, you read enough Instagram and Facebook posts to make up an entire Bible. You probably read enough articles and listen to enough podcasts and watch enough YouTube channels to read the Bible through like 5 times. So, you know, if you just kind of subtract some of those other things, you can definitely read through the Word of God all the way through. Well, my attention span, we'll work on your attention span then. And ask God to help you with your attention span. Well, I'm just really busy. Then you're too busy. Because one thing is needful. And again, quality over quantity. But you know what? At the end of the day, a lot of Christians seem to be suffering from the quantity of other things entering in that are choking the word and making you unfruitful in your Bible reading. Amen? Amen. I know you wanted some other subject to be preached on today, but I'm going to hit on your particular sin. The sins of Christians, which is their lack of Bible reading, their lack of walking with God. And shame on the Christian who doesn't walk with God. Shame on the Christian who is solid on their doctrine. Shame on the Christian that is solid on everything else, but they just neglect the most important thing, which we were created for, which is to walk with God. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 8, you don't have to turn there. Go back to Hebrews 11. Therefore, as ye abound, meaning grow in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge. What does that mean? God wants us to abound in our knowledge. I hope that you know more Bible today than you did last year. I hope you increased at least by 1% in your knowledge of the Bible today than from 2023. I hope you abounded in that area. And you know what? If you think to yourself, well, I feel like I've regressed, then pick it back up again. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth back up again. There, you know, it's easy to just get back into it, get into the swing of things, start reading the Word of God, and even things that you've learned in times past that you've forgotten, you can regain that knowledge once again. There's muscle memory there, amen? You've been out of the gym for quite some time. It's okay. Get back into the gym. You'll awaken those muscles that you haven't awakened in a long time. Same thing spiritually. Pick up that Bible. Read it again. Develop and cultivate an appetite for the Word of God again. Have expectation, though, when you read the Bible. Have expectation when you pray. Tomorrow when you wake up, pray expecting something in return. Tomorrow when you wake up, read the Bible expecting something in return, because He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Number two, how to walk with God. One, with expectation. And two, we mentioned this already, but with diligence. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Verse 6, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What does that mean? Consistently seek Him. Now, this is the issue with a lot of Christians, is that they'll hear a sermon like this and like, you know, I'm going to pray tomorrow. And they come up with all the lists and they say it. But then Tuesday, they pray again. But then Wednesday comes around and then they're just like, well, it's not here. And then Thursday comes around, they're like, well, you know, maybe I should pray again. And then they'll pray again. But then Friday comes around and they don't pray for it. And then they become inconsistent in their walk with God. Or they're like, I'm going to read my Bible tomorrow. I'm going to read. And then Tuesday comes around, they're reading their Bible. Wednesday comes around, they're reading the Bible. Thursday comes around. Friday comes around. Saturday comes around. Oh, man, church is on Sunday. I got to read my Bible. And it's just this up and down of just inconsistently reading your Bible. And let me just say this. If that's you, you know what? We've all been through that. Myself included, as a Christian, as a young Christian, I had instances in my Christian life where I would miss out on Bible reading. And, you know, because of a lack of discipline, a lack of character, my priorities were out of whack. There'd be times when, you know, there'd be a couple days even where I wouldn't read my Bible. But I will say this, after a couple of days, you just feel like crap. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, I'm in the flesh. The old Bruce is coming back. He's revisiting me again. I feel carnal. I'm grieved. And then I get a sermon like this, and then it's just like, okay, I got to get back on track. But there comes a point where you're not constantly telling yourself to get back on track. And then that's the point where you've made Bible reading and walking with God a diligent thing that you do, to the point where it just becomes a part of your life. Because you don't want your walk with God to be something that you feel like you have to do, to feel like you have to remind yourself to do it. You want to just do it as though it's just second nature to you. Because once it becomes second nature, you don't really have to stress about it anymore. You're not like, oh man, I forgot to read my Bible. No, it's just like, that's just what I do. I forget everything else because I'm reading the Bible. Diligently seek Him. Go to Luke chapter 11, if you would. Luke chapter 11. When it comes to walking with God, you should walk with Him with expectation, but also with diligence. And obviously, on a practical level, you might need help with that. You might need an accountability partner, someone who checks up on you. And we have enough technology today where, you know, if we want, we could put a camera on your Bible and just like, you know, hey, you're reading your Bible? Hey, I don't see those eyes moving, man. You know, there's probably something out there like that. There's enough technology out there to just keep you accountable. Yeah. I mean, I think there's like the Holy Bible app where you can create like a group and, you know, a leader can check if you've read your Bible. Well, that's too much. Well, is it too much though if you don't read your Bible? Is that, maybe that's what you need. Is that really too much if you're inconsistent? Is anything too much if we're trying to gain the most important discipline that a Christian could ever obtain, which is walking with God? It's not too much. You know, when I struggled reading my Bible as a young Christian, I needed accountability. But there came a point where it's just like, you know what? I'm not going to be a child anymore spiritually. And I refuse to have someone check up on me to do something that I should, as a Christian, just naturally do, and I just made myself do it. Amen. And it got to a point where I consistently did it for such a long time that at that point, I was keeping other people accountable. And that's really the goal of the Christian life. I remember being in Bible college, and I was over a group of teenagers from the junior high. I had a group of like five young teenage men that I would literally consistently call every single day. And I would call their parents, and I would say, is Johnny, I need to speak to Johnny about his Bible reading. All right, here he is. Did you read your Bible today? Yes. All right, just to make sure you're not lying to me. What did you read? This is what I read. All right, great. Did you pray? Yes. All right, see you tomorrow. And just call it like a couple minute conversation. And you know what? Those guys, they basically, there's times when they didn't want to read the Bible, but they didn't want to say, they didn't want to have a conversation with me and say, no, I didn't read my Bible. So what they would do is like, oh man, I know Brother Mejia is going to call me, so I'm going to read my Bible so I actually, you know, don't look like a derelict of a Christian because I didn't read my Bible. And you know what? They all gained that discipline of reading the Bible. And I guarantee you, many of them are still walking with God today. If you need accountability, then get the accountability. Even as an adult, if you need accountability, get accountability. Don't be so prideful to think that, well, you know, I'm married, I have kids, you know, it's just embarrassing. No, it's embarrassing for you not to walk with God. That's embarrassing. So get the help if you need it. There's no shame in that whatsoever. Look what it says in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. It says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What is the same? You know, when it comes to walking with God, you need diligence, you need importunity, you need persistence in prayer. Persistently pray for your needs. And you know what? Pray for needs that you probably don't even have yet. Pray for rain in the latter rain. You're like, man, I just want to learn more Bible. Then ask God every single day for that then. You're like, man, I really need this raise. You know, on a practical level, work harder, but also pray. Like, Lord, provide for me. And come back the next day. Lord, I need that raise. Lord, I need that raise. Lord, I need that raise. Just every single day. Go to the gates of heaven and say, Lord, here again, just want to remind you, I need that raise. Like, I don't know about that. Yeah, you don't know about that, huh? Yeah, you don't know anything about that.
Right.
Because you don't do it. This is why this example is given, my friends. He's saying be importune means be persistent. Just keep going back. I need that loaf. I need that loaf. Can I get that loaf? Can I get that loaf? I need that loaf. We need this. I need this raise. I need this particular possession. I need this. I need it. And you just keep going back. And the Bible says that God, he's going to give it to you, and he abrades not.
Yeah.
I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I need understanding. I need understanding. He's going to give it to you liberally, and he will not abrade you for it. Why? Because importunity is an expression of faith. It's like, you go there, you ask him for that particular need, he doesn't give it to you, and you go back anyways. Like, I'm here again. Just want to remind you that I need that. And you come back the next day, even though you didn't get it, you say, here again, just want to tell you that I want that and I need that. You just, every single day, it's an expression of faith. And what was that first point? Oh, yeah, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Some Christians just need endurance in prayer. They need to be persistent in prayer. And you know what? Sometimes it takes, listen to this, I know this is going to scare you, years. Do you have the endurance to pray for something for years? Every single day? Pray, walk with God, expecting something. Walk with God with diligence. That means you have to read the Bible every single day. It means you have to pray and petition for those needs every single day. Go to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter number 3. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs chapter 1 as you're turning there. Regarding this particular point of diligence, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for us for a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Well, you know, I read the Bible a couple of times. I just don't get it yet. It says you got to seek for it as for silver. That means you have to go, you have to dig deep. We were in Northern California last week, and we went to Old Town Sac. And the guy there was explaining some of the historical facts regarding the city and the town and how it was a major mining place for gold. And he was saying that there's still a lot of gold in Sacramento. It's just deep in the mountains. And it's just, you know, the reason they haven't pulled it all out is because it just requires a lot of work. But what if I told you there's like $1 billion in your backyard and it's buried and you say, "Well, how deep?" I said, "I don't know, but it's there." You would probably just do everything possible and keep digging throughout the night. At a practical level, we're not saying, you know, if you're like, we're not preaching on greed and covetousness right now, all right? This is just an illustration. You would dig and dig, and you know what? If all you got was dirt, but you had the confidence that that was there, you don't care how dirty or how much dirt you pull up, you're going to keep digging until you get it. Well, the Bible says that's how you should look for the knowledge of God. And so walk with God with expectation. Walk with God with diligence. Number 3, walk with God with harmony. Harmony. So what do you mean? Look at Amos 3, verse 3. "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" What does that mean? It means you actually have to agree with what God says in the Bible. Don't be a cherry-picking Christian. Or it's just like, "Well, I agree about this part, but this other part I don't really agree with." Then you don't agree with God. Because how can two walk together except they're in complete union and agreement with one another? And, you know, obviously you're not going to have Christians that say, "You know, I agree with this, but I don't believe this part." What they'll do now is they'll say, "Well, I agree with this, but I think you're misinterpreting that. That's a different interpretation." No, just say you don't agree with the Bible. Because some, look, folks, I get, like, tonight we're going to go through some end times Bible prophecy, and there's certain things that are just kind of obscure, but not everything in the Bible is obscure, though. Yeah, right. Some things is just like, you could literally just quote the verse, and I don't even need to explain it. You just know exactly what it means. "For God so loved the world." So what does that mean exactly? If you don't know what that means, then you need to learn English. Then you probably need some ESL classes if you don't get what that means. Because there's certain verses in the Bible that are self-explanatory. And so some people say, "Well, I agree with that, but I don't agree with this." Okay, then just say you don't agree with the Bible. But you need to be in agreement with God. And you know what? There's some sermons that you're going to hear from the pulpit here at First Works Baptist Church, and you're not going to agree with what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, just say you don't agree with the Bible. Because I'm not going to preach anything that's contrary to the Word of God. "Well, yeah, but you're preaching your interpretation." Yeah, but here's the thing, folks, is that at the end of the day, whatever doctrine I give you, out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word shall be established. And when I show you 5 different scriptures that teach that, then that's what the Bible teaches. And unless you have 5 to 10 other scriptures that refute that, then this is the primary interpretation then. Got to be in agreement with God. You have to agree with God regarding sin. You have to agree with God regarding the roles in the home. You have to agree with God regarding a man's role, that he's the head of the household. Amen? You're like, "Well, yeah, see, that's the thing I don't really agree." Then just say you don't agree with the Bible. How can you walk with God if you don't like his institutions that he set up? We have to like come into agreement with that and say, "You know what? It goes against the grain. It's not what I've learned, but I just have to like renew my mind and believe what the Bible says." Because I think pretty much everyone here, because how many of you are second generation Christians? 1, 2, 3, 4? Okay, how many of you would say, "I grew up in a Christian home"? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Nice and high. Don't be ashamed. You kids don't count. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, see, okay, we got to. How many say I'm a first-generation Christian? Yeah, the vast majority of people here are first-generation Christians. Do you know what that means? It means a lot of the concepts of the Bible are very much foreign to you initially. They're just foreign to you. So when you hear something, it kind of bothers you because whatever your high school taught you, whatever philosophy you've been getting through this world has taught you. And so a lot of it goes against your grain. But you know why it goes against the grain? Because it's God's word. If it was a book written by man, it would just completely capitulate to our desires. But because it's written by God and it's seeking to make us more godly and more like unto the Lord, it's going to contradict us. And you know what? We need to pray, Lord, bring me into alignment with what the Bible says. If the Bible says that a wife's supposed to be a keeper at home, don't flinch at that. If the Bible says that having children is a blessing, don't flinch at that. If the Bible says that being effeminate is a sin, don't flinch at that. If the Bible says that sodomy is an abomination, don't flinch at that. If the Bible, we could just go on and on and on and on. Walk together with God in agreement. So when you hear something from the preaching of God's word, but it's based in the Bible, and you kind of flinch at it, you have a knee-jerk reaction to it, just look at it and say, well, it's right there. So if I'm going to walk with God, I got to agree with him. I got to be in unity with what he says. And, you know, I think about this one time. It was a couple years ago. We were at the old building, and we had some visitors, and you know, I was preaching a sermon against sodomites, or it probably wasn't even a sermon. I think it was like a point on sodomites. And I was just kind of like ripping on it, and I was going off on it, and I was angry about something. I don't remember what it was. But I was thinking to myself, like, this person picked a heck of a service to bring visitors to. Because they were just like, you know, there's just Sunday morning, you know, and it's just. So I went to go talk to him after the service, you know, just because at the end of the day, like, I'm not screaming and yelling after the service. Like, I'm preaching. But after the service, you know, I'm very kind and cordial, I think. And so I went up to them and I shook hands. I was like, hey, thanks for coming. And the person said, what you said up there is true. She's like, I've never heard anything like that, but it's actually in the Bible. So I agree with that. And you know what? I was impressed. Because that person has the right disposition about the Bible. Because deep down, I think what she wanted to say is like, that was kind of rough. Like, that was like, ugh. That was a little too much. But the thing is, she didn't express that because she said, oh, it's in the Bible. Okay, if it's in the Bible, then I'm in agreement with it. And if you want to walk with God for a long period of time, if you want longevity in the Christian life, you got to agree with the Lord. And in fact, you know, the Bible describes walking with God also as being yoked up with God. Yeah. Right? Like a yoke of oxen. They put that contraption on the necks of oxen, and it basically keeps them from separating, keeps one from going in the wrong direction. It just helps them to go in the same direction. And it would be very difficult if one of the ox seeks to pull to the right. It's like, how can they walk together? They have to be going in the same direction. You have to go in the right direction spiritually if you want to walk with God. Meaning you have to make God's priorities your priorities. Right. You have to make church a priority. You've got to make winning souls a priority. You have to make having a Christian home, listen to this, a priority. Because the Lord is not just the God of First Works Baptist Church. He should be your God of your home, where he is preeminent in your household. Like, I'm the lowercase Lord of my house, but Jesus Christ is the Lord of my house, though. Like, he's the boss of my house. So therefore, I run my household as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You're like, well, I don't know about that. You know, I think we should do the Christian thing when we're here, but when we're out there. Folks, you know, God is not confined by walls. He's the God of the whole earth. And when it comes to us as his people, you know, we don't compartmentalize God. Be in agreement with him. And I'm not just saying blindly follow what I say. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. This is why when you come to church, I tell you, turn to this passage. Go to this chapter. Go to this book, because I want you to see it for yourself.
so that you could be in agreement with God or disagree with him.
Go to Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23. I got two more points, and I got like 5 to 10 minutes. So 5 minutes each, okay? I got 5 more points, and I got 10 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Number 4, walk with God with imitation. What does that mean? Well, let me read to you from 1 John 2, verse 3. It says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So before I read on, I love that verse. Like, I know Jesus. I'm a Jesus follower. Then why don't you keep his commandments? Why are you constantly criticizing his commandments? Why are you constantly making excuses for his commandments? Why are you apologizing for what the Bible says? Trying to excuse it away. If you know him, keep his commandments. It says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we know him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." So you know, walking with God is praying unto the Lord, reading the Bible with expectation, with diligence, but it's also with the agenda that we want to be like unto the Lord. Be more like Jesus.
What would Jesus do?
More like, you know, what is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And let me be like unto him. I mean, this is literally the purpose of the Christian life, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. To take his divine, you know, characteristics and experience the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You say, well, you know, you're speaking too, like, loftily. Like, well, what, practical. Give me something practical. Okay, you know, are you more of a Christian? Are you a better Christian this year than you were last year? Have you improved as a Christian within the last 6 months? Have you improved as a Christian within the last week? And you know what? You might be here and be like, well, I've only been back for the last couple of weeks. Okay, then have you improved in the last couple of weeks? Are you more like unto Christ? Because the goal of the Christian, if we were to just make it as easy as possible, we'd say, is to be more like Jesus. So, well, how do I know if I'm more like Jesus? Well, here's a good way. People just start hating you, start criticizing you. You don't have to wonder, am I being more like Jesus? Other people will tell you in not so many ways. They'll just like separate you from their company. You'll see it. And in fact, let me read to you from Acts 4:13. Says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Like, oh man, these guys have been with that Jesus. And you know, one thing I've seen as a pastor, I've seen some of the most timid, introverted people just be bold in the Lord when they're out soul winning or when they're talking about the Bible. They just become like another man. And that's an indication that they've been with Jesus. Why do we walk with God? So we can walk like he walked. You know, I have children, and my son seeks to imitate me as much as possible sometimes. Even in the way I dress, the way I act, everything that I do, they just want to be just like me. And that's like a natural thing. But you know what? It should be a supernatural thing for us that when we walk with God, we want to like do things the way he wants it done. We want to love the things that he loves, hate the things that he hates, be burdened with the things that burden him, love souls the way he would love souls, love and exalt truth the way he loves and exalts truth, love the brethren as he loves the brethren, think upon the righteous and virtuous things as he does, live as he lived, right? So with imitation. And then lastly is how to walk with God. Here's the last point, very important. With purity. So what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." When you walk with God in your daily Bible reading and prayer, one of the first things you should do, and this is very important, is you clear yourself. Come before his courts for praise and thanksgiving, and you just kind of just clear yourselves of any wrongdoing. This is what like confessing your sins is all about. And no, you don't have to go to a priest.
some godless, baser sort priest to go because he wants to hear about all your sins. It's wicked. You can bring that unto the Lord. Well, the Bible says confess your faults one to another. Yeah, confess your faults, not your sins. You know, I don't want to hear about, I mean, if you need to talk to someone, I'm here. I don't want to discourage anybody. But, you know, there's no booth inside my office. When was the last time of your confession? And then you just hear just your deepest, darkest secrets or something like that. Obviously, if you have things that you need to talk about because you need help, that's a different story. I'm just saying, I'm not a priest. I'm not those kind of priests. And in fact, you're a priest. Because we're part of the royal priesthood. It's for that reason that we can go to God directly and clear ourselves. So when you walk with God, you know, you meet up with the Lord in your office, in your room, or wherever it is, you meet up with God. Before anything else, you should, Lord, I just want to clear myself. Because I've sinned, you know. Maybe I thought a bad thought. I mistreated my wife, mistreated my children. You know, I did wrong. And that's important to do. Why? Because of the fact that God wants us to come before him with clean hearts. And you know, this is something you always have to do. So like anytime you meet up with God, you just clear yourself of that. Now, here in Deuteronomy 23, I actually thought about this at the Red Hot Preaching Conference because Pastor Shelley preached on the subject of gross people. It was a great sermon. And he brought up this particular passage, and it made me think of something else. But look at verse 12 of Deuteronomy 23. It says, thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. Now, what does that mean? He's basically instructing the children of Israel that when they have to use the restroom, they go outside the camp. They use it outside of the camp. They don't defecate or urinate in the camp. This is what it means to go forth abroad, okay? It says in verse 13, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be when thou ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. So it's just good, you know, good advice, amen. It's just like when you go do your business, just bury that thing. No one wants to smell or look at that, okay? Be sanitary. See, God helps us in all just types of ways, right? Christianity just improves society drastically. So, you know, good advice here. Verse 14, for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. Go to 2 Corinthians, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So he says, you know, when you use the restroom, go outside the camp. And when you go outside the camp, make sure you bring a paddle, cover that thing. Don't defecate in the camp. Don't urinate in the camp. Do all that stuff out there and cover it. Why? Because God walks in the camp. And he doesn't want to be, you know, he doesn't want it to be like San Francisco. Where there's needles and, you know, just filth everywhere. Okay, you're just like, he's like, he wants to walk freely in the camp. That's where the tabernacle is. It should be holy, amen? Well, in the New Testament, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which we have of God, and ye are not your own. This is what the Bible says. Look at 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What is it teaching us here? It's teaching us, you know, this Old Testament principle of cleanliness, of not defecating or, you know, putting this filth inside the camp. Do it outside the camp. Why? Because God walks in the midst of the camp. You know, when we walk with God, it's good to clear ourselves, confess our sins, so we don't have no crap inside of us. God doesn't have to walk in this tabernacle with all this crap inside. Well, I don't like the way you said that. I mean, that's what it is. Dung. It's spiritual dung. The sins, the filth of this world that cleave unto you, be cleansed of all those things, confess those things, bury those things, so that God can walk freely in this camp. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, the Bible says. if I'm keeping sin and iniquity in my heart, if I'm not confessing it before. And let me just say this. You know, when we talk about confessing our sins, it's not like God doesn't know about it. You know, it goes back to the point where we're just like telling him that we know that he knows. Okay, we don't want to be like Adam here, where Adam is just like hiding in the trees, you know, and he thinks like he can literally hide from the Lord or something like that. He wants a confession. You know, and the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So when you walk with God, clear yourselves of all the crap. Clear yourselves of all the dung. And you know what that sometimes requires? A little bit of soul searching. Requires a little bit of examination. It requires something that people don't like to do today, and that is meditation. That means you just sit there quietly and you think upon, Lord, what have I done to displease you? Are there any sins in my life? Have I regarded iniquity in my heart? Is there something you're not happy with? And you confess that. Why? So he can freely walk in the camp when you walk with him. You don't want to be walking with God and he's like, oh, covetousness, okay. Oh, greed, all right. Oh, gluttony, whoa. Oh, wow, lust, okay. Oh, man, look. Oh, gossip, oh, man, effeminate, whoa. You don't want to have to just step over all that. Clean all that up so he can walk freely in the camp. Last passage, go to Micah chapter 6. Let me read to you from 1 John 1, 6. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Clear yourselves before you walk with God. It's one of the greatest practices you can have. And you know what? It's just good for the soul too. You'll feel a lot better about it. You won't feel guilty when you're walking with God. You won't feel guilty the rest of the way. You can just confess it unto the Lord. And you know what? You're not catching him off guard either. He knows about all the inner recesses of your mind. He knows about all your temptations, all your desires. He knows it all. He just wants to hear from you. What's the sermon this morning? The sermon is simply this. You know, this is how you walk with God. Folks, let me just say this. I hope that my church members know the Lord. I hope you know the Lord. I hope you become a friend of God. I hope our church never becomes this shallow church where the Christians in this building don't even know what it is to walk with God. I hope every person here knows the Lord personally. I hope that you have the confidence to pray unto the Lord, to petition for the needs that you have, to read the Word of God. And I hope I see you in 20 years. This is important. Look what Micah 6:8 says. We'll close with this verse. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, listen to this, and to walk humbly with thy God. This is what God requires of you. Don't take it lightly. Walk with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and thank you for giving us the privilege to walk with you, Lord, every single day, to pray to the God of heaven, to come before your gates with praise and thanksgiving, to petition for our needs, Lord. You're the creator. You're the maker. And you have freely given us this privilege, Lord, to come boldly into the throne of grace, to obtain mercy, to help in a time of need. But you also have given us the spirit of truth that dwells within us that helps us to learn the Bible. What a privilege it is to be able to open up the Word of God, not have to go to a third party, not have to go through a particular religion. We can literally just read the Word of God on our own and know what the Bible says and hear you, hear the voice of the shepherd on a daily basis. Lord, may you cultivate a greater desire for us to do both, that it would become second nature to us who may not be consistent in these areas. Help us, Lord, to prioritize walking with you more important than anything else, because if we love soul winning, if we love church attendance, if we love the brethren, if we love serving you, we absolutely need to make this a priority in our lives. We love you and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
These are your songbooks. This is song number 372. Song number 372.